My life fades. The vision dims. All that remains are memories. I remember a time of chaos. Ruined dreams. This wasted land. But most of all, I remember the road warrior, the man we called Max. To understand who he was, you have to go back to another time, when the world was powered by the black fuel, and the desert sprouted great cities of pipe and steel. Gone now, swept away. For reasons long forgotten, two mighty warrior tribes went to war, and touched off a blaze which engulfed them all. Without fuel, they were nothing. They'd built a house of straw. The thundering machine sputtered and stopped. Their leaders talked and talked and talked. But nothing could stem the avalanche. Their world crumbled. The cities exploded. A whirlwind of looting. A firestorm of fear. Men began to feed on men. On the roads, it was a white line nightmare. Only those mobile enough to scavenge, brutal enough to pillage, would survive. The gangs took over the highways, ready to wage war for a tank of juice. And in this maelstrom of decay, ordinary men were battered and smashed.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men, and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, September 7th, 2005. This would be Newsreel, the war global sit-rep for core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. Got it again. Damn. I keep on screwing up on taking a spam. I don't know what it is about that, but it's always taking a spam. You notice that? Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Osprey Radio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa, as well as SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit, which means you can give it to people, you can talk to other people about it, which is the number one thing you must do. Please do tell other people about Newsreel. It's very important that we get this information out there to folks, and that we can spread the virus. The quickest, easiest way, even if you just talk to one person a day about it, you'd be surprised how quickly we could take over the airwaves. Please, please, please help the program by telling your friends, family, and people you don't know. Yes, be a little prophesizing spam agent for Rant Media. That's what we want. Let's get into some feedback. Hey, Sean, good stuff. I just came across the show a few days ago. Awesome. I'd like to know how you found out about it, but still, nevertheless, if you just came across it, I'm happy about that. Good to hear people chewing on real life for a change and concerned about something more than their morning cereal. I was listening to the September 2nd show and listening intently to the piece you had on Easter Island. This is a story I've seen before and something that has been discussed a great deal within a subject I've followed intently. Peak oil. Now, peak oil, of course, is the whole concept that, you know, we're going up in oil, up in oil, up in oil. Oh, we're running out of oil, running out of oil, running out of oil, running out of oil, as per the intro. Easter Island basically went tits up after establishing a society that required the continuous erection of bigger and better monuments. The problem is that they used up more of a finite resource. Their trees got to the point where eventually they had removed much of their tree cover and they completely destroyed their ability to carry on making monuments. Then, of course, wrecked their ecosystem on their own island, thereby sealing their own fate. You imagine the possibility of such a thing happening to us now. Well, you don't really need to imagine it hard. Just swap trees for oil and monuments for corporations. We're hitting the tipping point of oil production and the consequences and implications are profound. If you want to know more, please let me know. Great info on the stuff you're doing. Kudos to you and Sim. Thank you, Colorant. Well, Colorant, I'm here to tell you, I've actually been aware of the whole peak oil thing, and it's something that, you know, is one of the reasons why I did patrolling. It's one of the reasons why I talk about After Now and the coming trend in the things I'm doing. I mean, that's one of the reasons as well why I'm getting involved in the business and the knowledge that I have. I mean, when you look at, you know, it's kind of funny. You remember when you were aware, okay, well, I don't know about you guys. But I'm sure there's a great number of our listeners out there that remember playing the paper and dice role-playing games. Everybody used to play those all the time. Hell, probably we still do play them for those of you who have more free time than I do. But, you know, nothing better than role-playing games. By the way, if you want to keep the mind active, great, great pastime. Highly advise it to anyone. Great way to meet people. Great way to make friends. Role-playing games are king. Now, that said, everyone remembers making a character sheet based upon yourself. You know, like, oh, hey, here's a Beyond the Supernatural game. Let's make ourselves as characters and see how we do in the zombie world. Hey, that would be fun, right? Everybody's done that, but it's fun to do that from time to time. Just make up your own character sheet about yourself and see where your skills are. And then run through scenarios. See how you'd make out. See how you'd do in an actual scenario. And from there, you'd be able to realize what skills you'd really need, hoping that, of course, your GM has his shit all together. Dear Sean, before we get going here, on that peak oil thing, yeah, it is kind of scary. It is kind of scary that oil is slowly going downrange. So the closest thing you want to do, I would say, would be to focus on getting off the grid, which is a very good idea if you could try to pull that off. I would also say get the hell out of the cities. That would be your first big concept. But, you know, I mean, maybe, unless, of course, you have money. Of course, if you have money, then everything changes. You know what I mean? If you're, you know, able to be, if you're in the military, for example, chances are you're not going to get thrown out into the cold because, well, you're in the military. And they're always going to need people who kill people. That's part of being on the sharp end. So, you know, that's one thing. The other thing is if you got cash, well, people with money will always be protected. That's how that works, too. So you got nothing to worry about. So all the social rich elite who are listening to the program, which I have no problem with people who have a lot of money. Okay, what I have a problem with is people who have a lot of money who, you know, just totally enslave entire populaces to make more money, and it gets into ethics, and then, you know, it goes from there. But in any case, you know, what I'm saying here is that, you know, we have to be aware and have to be able to get off the grid if you don't know where you sit on the social ladder. Dear Sean, I know I'm not the only one emailing you about this. Oh, God, no. But I am fucking pissed off about all of it. The president cut his vacation short by 2 fucking days. Then I checked this. He gave about a 3-minute talk on the hurricane results in Louisiana while people are dying. The governor is on the radio in tears because it took the Bush administration 4 days to do anything. If this had been a disaster in Afghanistan and we weren't currently at war, you can bet they would have sent all the help in no time. But because the majority of people over there were black, Bush didn't do anything. To me, that is not acceptable at all. You don't pick and choose who you help. I'm just bitching in general. And that's from Amber Kitty. Now, I don't know if it's because they were black. You know, I mean, that might be a little bit weird. I mean, it, you know, I mean, you can't deny that it is a poor neighborhood and there's a lot of people going down there. But I wouldn't go, I don't know if I'd play the race card on that one. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. I'm not saying it's not the race card. I'm just saying, you know, that wouldn't be the first card I play. I'd probably play the ineptitude card saying that, you know, clearly, you know, the buddies being a little inept because obviously, you know, I mean, we got a lot of 4 days is pretty unacceptable when you're talking about over 10,000 dead. You know what I'm saying here? Okay. Dear Sean. Dude, great post today for Newsreel. Well, thank you. I was trying to find a video from CNN that showed the NOLA evacuees at the Astrodome. And in particular, this video, guess who is with them? That's right, your favorite alien cult, mine, the Scientologists. These bastards are volunteering, wearing bright yellow COS ministry tees and ID them as COS members, to help people ask the Astrodome. Wow, just fucking wow. I mean, how opportunistic do you have to be to try to convert people who've been through hell? Hell, literally and figuratively, in my opinion. I don't know if someone else saw the video, but I did, and it's pretty jacked up. Anyways, great job. Keep up the good works. Later, Kung Fu Robot Monkey. Yeah, there's nothing like a little charity to hide a multitude of sins, and that is exactly what the Scientologists are doing. We're great. Look at us. We're helping people during these disasters. Which, you know what? Fair ball. Take the help from whoever. I'll take help from, you know, the Al-Qaeda. I don't care. Whatever. Whatever saves lives, okay? But after you're done saving lives, remember, Al-Qaeda and Scientologists are pieces of shit. Do you like how I grouped Al-Qaeda and Scientologists together there? That was cool, eh? I like that. Anyway, they're extremist Al-Qaeda terrorists, Scientologists bags of shit. On to Sort Yourself Out. Dear Sean, I have a problem. Hence, you're being talked to on the Sort Yourself Out section of the show. I have a problem. I'm in school and only a little guy. This is bad. It's not school that's a problem, since no one there really gives me any problems. Unfortunately, outside of school, I always seem to get into bad situations which have often turned violent. On more than one occasion, the police have got involved after I've been beaten up. I find myself not wanting to leave the house because I'm shit scared of being attacked again. I live in Britain, where most weapons and defensive methods are strictly controlled, and I'm not sure if I'd want to go that way anyway. Basically, what I'm asking is if you can help me feel safe on the streets. Three face painting. Well, dude, that's a bad place to be. And being as I used to be a little guy myself, and I used to get shit kicked often, it's a bad scene. And the worst thing about that, and anyone who's ever been shit kicked, is not actually the shit kicking, which is funny. The actual problem is the waiting for the shit kicking. It's the living in fear. That's the bad part. Okay, the bad part is not actually the fight. The problem arises from waiting for the fight. It's that anticipation. It's knowing that the end of the day is coming. You're going to have to walk home. And sure as shit, you know for a fact that the guys who were there a week ago may still be out there lurking and waiting for you. Okay, now there's a couple things you need to do. What you need to do right off the top is you need to, if you've, I don't know, all I've got to go on is just the letter you sent me here. So the first thing I would do is contact the police and tell them what your problem is, and just inform them. Make sure you have it on record. At this time, I went to the police and told them of my concerns. Okay, you have a document. You document you going to the police and saying, I am afraid this has happened multiple times. The cops will probably tell you something like, well, son, don't worry. You know, we'll try to maintain it. Get the police's advice, no matter what that may be. Tell the police your intentions, okay? Your intentions, and okay it with the cops. Your intentions are that you are going to, because of this, you're concerned and you're going to start taking martial arts. Okay, that's what you're going to do. That's what you tell the cops. The cops won't have a problem with this. As a matter of fact, they'll probably give you some advice on some good schools. Next thing that happens is you find a local martial arts school. Look for something that doesn't have skulls and daggers on the wall. Something that's kind of traditional. We're not looking for something that's sport related, or even if it is sport related, that's fine. But you want to go in there, make sure your instructor is a mature person who knows what the hell is going on. Explain to them the nature of your problem. Go find your instructor. Any particular form is fine. I'd recommend stuff that works more with ground fighting and joint locks and joint destruction, things like that, simply because, personally, I'm starting to kind of lean towards, I mean, there's a local school I'm looking at here, looking at a Hapkido, but that's because I'm going with a local school versus having to travel 5 to 6 hours, you know, in order to go to a school. But you have to do a lot of research on your schools. If you go in there, you even get the slightest bad vibe. You even get just a wiggly bad vibe. You're out of there, okay? So you go through a bunch of different schools. And because realistically, a punch is a punch is a punch, okay? After that, it's all technique. So you go find yourself a decent school. Explain to your instructor while you're going there. Say, listen, I have to take this program because yada, yada, yada. I'm being attacked. I'm being attacked on the street consistently, okay? It's getting so bad, I'm afraid all the time, okay? And then from there, any martial arts instructor worth his fucking salt will be able to understand that and begin to train you and give you the confidence. Now, to go with that, though, It's not just going to the class and training once in a while. That means you have to practice your drills every night, do some reading, look into things like Jeet Kune Do, where you can just the philosophy aspects of it. Because Jeet Kune Do is more of a philosophy than a martial art anyway, which I believe to probably be the ultimate martial art myself. And I know a lot of people are going to get pissed at me for that. But if you look at the actual philosophy behind it, it's a pretty wog martial arts style. It's basically not a style. It's the style that best suits you. You wouldn't teach a sumo wrestler capoeira. You know what I mean? It's that kind of a concept. So anyway, that said, after you go, start, you know, bringing physical fitness into it. Make sure that you get, you know, start looking after yourself. And what that'll do is, even if, you know, as you're building on your physical confidence and stuff like that, in 3 months' time, you'll put on a little bit of weight. You'll have gained some muscle. You'll have gained some skills. And if you're engaged outside of your school, okay, you become a more expensive target. Even if you're beaten, let's say you go in there and you get jumped by, I'm going to just go with a scenario here, okay? Let's say you get jumped by five guys, all right? They all, because none of these motherfuckers come up and nail you on their own. That never happens. It's always a pack, right? You always feel like, I'm never going to be able to beat a pack. You don't have to beat the pack. That's not the point. What you do is you work them, and you work them hard, okay? Meaning you break joints, you break wrists, you break hands, you cripple these motherfuckers. And if it's on the street, you're going for eyes, stuff like that, okay? You're blinding people. You're maiming them for the rest of their fucking lives. You make it expensive so that the next time they come to fuck with you, okay, or anybody else comes to fuck with you, it's like, you know what? Last time we fucked with that guy, we lost three guys. Murray's still in the hospital. Jack's blind. Okay, we're not going to go fuck with this guy. Because that's the reality of the situation. Now, of course, that's just my opinion. That is just my opinion. I would say, now, I don't know your age. If you're just dealing with a bunch of kids, don't go ripping people's eyes out. Just beat the snot out of them. Don't do anything permanently maiming, okay? But if you're, like, if you're afraid for your life, dude, fight to win. That's how it works, okay? So that would be my advice to you. There is a reason, and there is no quick fix. There is no, you know, even carrying a knife or carrying a gun or carrying any kind of a weapon, you have to be trained in how to use that weapon. If you're not trained, you get a false sense of security, and that's very, very dangerous. As well as you start to gain proficiency in, you know, your various fighting styles, you don't want to become a bully. You don't want to go wandering around looking for the shit, because if you go looking for the shit, I guarantee you me, you will find it, okay? And you're not going to like it when you get there. Make sure that when you're any martial art you take, you get some ring time. Make sure you get it so that you get into an arena and get your ass smacked around the arena. First six, seven times you do it, you're going to bawl your eyes out. You're going to get your ass handed to you. Why? It's stress inoculation. Those are drills. These are things that you will do so that it gets you used to the aspects of combat, okay? This is what happens. Now, I'm addressing this as a serious issue because you've written me a letter saying that you're being attacked and you're afraid for your life. So bear that in mind. Now, don't just take this information and go out there and next time somebody, you know, grabs you, stick your thumb in their eye. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is measured force, and measured response. So make sure you understand that. Look into your local area. Look into some training. Follow that. Get in physical shape and take control and responsibility for your own safety. That would be my advice for you. And the best of luck with that three-face painting. Please get back to me on that. I'd like to see how you turn out on that factor because I'd love to make sure that, you know, you're safe, buddy. And in England, you know, there's not a lot of opportunities out there for weaponry and stuff like that. So guess what? We're going to learn how to do things the old-fashioned way. On to an opinion piece. Dear Sean, when you turn off your mind and tune everything out and then tune back in, what is there? What is it that you want? What is the right thing to focus on? Is there an answer to this? Is it found in yourself, the environment, a bottle, a person, or maybe even a conversation? And that was the email. Okay, well, I would say that this was probably written to me by someone who was in a particular headspace that, you know, they're trying to figure out what life's all about. Now, it has been my experience that, of course, I can't give you the answer to this because I don't know who the hell you are. And I don't know what you're, you know, where you're at or even what, you know, what country you're in or whatever. You know what I mean? I mean, the focus of your life would be a little bit different if you lived in Rwanda versus Britain. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, what I would state is if you can actually get yourself into a Zen state, I would say the purpose of life is to be content. The way you are, and the reason why I'd say that is because when you are content, you are happy. So it's to eliminate wants and desires and things like that. So I would say the purpose of life is the pursuit of your own personal happiness. Does that sound selfish? Probably. Probably. But if you're happy serving other people, then that is what you would do. Blah, 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 blah. So I'm not concerned about anyone else other than the person who is... I'm concerned about you, the listener, as an individual, as a WOG, as a single conscious entity. That's the thing I'm looking at. Now, It's been my experience that when you turn everything off and you get into that really good Zen state, all right, and when you're coming back down off of that, you look down because you're in an elevated position. You look down and you'll see all the concerns of your life are like mountain peaks and valleys all coming up through the fog of the haze of reality. You see what I mean? And there's a few points that are higher than everything else. If you can kind of keep with me here, I know I'm getting kind of esoteric on you, but just to hang on. Now, the first thing that hits you will usually be the highest peak, okay? That'll be like, let's say if you were a parent and you get into this stage, you got all these other concerns going on. You got your job, you got your wife, you've got, you know, whatever movies you want to buy, you got your TV shows, you've got your game shows, you've got all these different influences, you got, you know, things happening at your work. There's a chick you like at work, but you're married and blah, blah, blah. You got all this kind of stuff going on. Okay, well, when you get into that state where you're not concerned about anything, you're coming back down, the first thing that hits you would be, well, it should be your kids, right? You should be like, my offspring. Okay, and the first thing that hits, that's usually the most important thing. Okay, when you see which thing seems to be the most important thing, that should be your focus. You can only really do one thing at a time. Now, if it's with your children, you can't just, you know, you can't solve the child problem. That is a universal constant. So what you do is you set up shop regarding, okay, now I'm going to be a parent. Or if you don't have kids, you're going to be looking at, okay, I need to focus on what it's going to be that I'm going to do in order to make money and my career or what have you. Okay? Where am I going? Who's coming with me? Don't fuck that order up. It's always, where am I going? Who is coming with me? All right, now if you have children, it's, what can I do to better my family? Period. That is your guideline. And from there, it's up to your morals and ethics to determine how far you're willing to go. I mean, there's a lot of guys. There was that dude who got geeked over in Iraq, okay? A lot of guys may or may not know about this dude. He was a Navy SEAL instructor, okay? Baddest of badass. He goes over to Iraq. He wound up falling so far out of the form that he wound up being, like yours truly, a security guard. Only he was a security guard at a campground living in a trailer, okay, with his family. And he's got, like, two daughters and stuff. Started making instructional videos. Does any of this sound familiar to you? Okay, it was really sad because the guy was, his name was Scott something. They used to call him Scotty Vaught. But anyway, Scott there decided that, you know what, I'm going to go to Iraq, use the skills that I have in order to make some money for my family. He went there and got killed. And that's just the way things work. You know, it's unfortunate. And of course, the circumstance in which he got killed is really, really bad. Yada, yada, yada. But the point is that he was doing stuff for his family based upon his moral and ethical choices. And that is what I would advise to you. Look at where your morals and ethics are. See what is most important to you. See what should be most important to you. If you're like, but I'm unhappy. Okay, then. We need to address that, but you need to discuss why you're unhappy. You're unhappy because you are not content. You are not content because you have wants and needs, yada, yada. And you go from there. This is not rocket science. It is simply methodical, critical thinking. That's what you need to go with and go from there. You will not find the answer in others. You will only find the answers in yourself. Only you can decide what is right. And once your decision is made, no one can fuck with that. Now then, moving right along into the news. In Water War news, that's my new title for anything regarding New Orleans. Police shot and killed at least 5 people on Sunday after gunmen opened fire on a group of contractors traveling across a bridge on their way to make repairs, authorities said. Deputy Police Chief W.J. Riley said police shot 8 people carrying guns, killing 5 or 6. 14 contractors were traveling across the Danziger Bridge under police escort when they came under fire, so they fired at the cops who were escorting contractors. A spokesman for the Army Corps of Engineers. Incidentally, isn't it interesting that they were fired on a bridge, which is quite often people try to, you know, create a stopping block for, you know, bridges. They were on their way to launch barges to Lake Pontchartrain, to help plug the breach in the 17th Street Canal. This is what the John Hall said. None of the contractors were injured. No one could shoot. Mike Rogers, a disaster relief coordinator with the Army Corps of Engineers, told reporters in Baton Rouge. The bridge spans a canal connecting to Lake Pontchartrain and the Mississippi River. So I guess they opened fire on the cops. The cops returned fire and geeked 5 people. That would be warfare, also known as open gun battle. Also in water war news, combat operations are underway in the streets to take this city back, in quote-unquote, in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. This place looks like Little Somalia, Brigadier General Gary Jones, commander of the Louisiana National Guard's Joint Task Force, told Army Times Friday. Hundreds of armed troops under his charge are prepared to launch a massive citywide security mission from a staging area outside of the Louisiana Superdome. We are going out to take this city back. This will be a combat operation to get this city under control. Wow. So we're talking about open street war. Jones said the military first needs to establish security throughout the city. So they're going to be going through there, and if you're wandering around with a gun in New Orleans, you're geeked. Military and police officials have said there are several large areas of the city in a full state of anarchy. Yes, warlord states emerging everywhere. People are being raped and killed. Not so good. Dozens of military trucks and armored up Humvees left the staging area just after 11 a.m. Friday, with hundreds more troops arriving at the same staging area in the city via Black Hawk and Chinook helicopters. We're here to do whatever they need us to do. Sergeant First Class Ron Dixon of the Oklahoma National Guard's 113th 45th Transportation Company said, We're packed to stay as long as it takes. While some fight the insurgency in the city, this is unbelievable, where they're talking about insurgency in New Orleans, insurgents in New Orleans. Others carry on rescue and evacuation operations. Helicopters are still pulling hundreds of stranded people off from rooftops and flooded homes. Hope they're able to get some food. Army, Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, and police helicopters filled the city sky Friday morning. Most had armed soldiers manning the doors. According to Petty Officer 3rd Class Jeremy Grissom, a spokesman for the amphibious assault ship Bataan, the vessel kept its helicopters at sea Thursday night after several military helicopters reported being shot at from the ground. Numerous soldiers told the Army Times that they had been shot at by armed civilians in New Orleans. Spokesmen for the Joint Task Force headquarters at the Superdome were unaware of any servicemen being wounded in the streets, although one soldier is recovering from a gunshot wound sustained during the struggle with a civilian in the dome Wednesday night. Like, how are these people getting into the dome with guns? That's what I want to know. But anyway, I never thought that a National Guardsman would be shot at by another American, said Special Philip Backus of the 527th Engineer Battalion. I never thought I'd have to carry a rifle when on a hurricane relief mission. This is a disgrace. And it is a disgrace. It is a disgrace. But that's the reality of the situation. When things go this sideways, everyone is out there for themselves. Everyone will do whatever it takes to get what they need. And when you have the big gap between the haves and the have-nots, like you do in the United States, this is a huge wake-up call as to what will happen when the power goes out inside the United States. What a wonderful way to see just how far, you know, our cities can deteriorate. Now, in spy news, this is kind of interesting. A Russian diplomat based at the United Nations has appeared in U.S. federal court on money laundering charges. Vladimir Kutsunov, the elected head of a key UN budget oversight committee, has been arrested in an FBI raid. He's accused of helping another UN official launder hundreds of thousands of dollars, says the indictment. Mr. Kutsunov, 48, was taken into custody on Thursday night after UN Secretary General Kofi Annan agreed to waive his diplomatic immunity. Ooh, boy, I bet the Russians are going to like that. U.S. Ambassador to the UN, John Bolton, publicly thanked Mr. Annan Friday for his actions. We made the request yesterday to waive diplomatic privileges and immunities, he said. We want to thank the Secretary General for his personal and very prompt decision. The indictment, unsealed in the court in Manhattan, says that between 2000 and 2005, Mr. Kutsunov laundered hundreds of thousands of dollars in criminal proceedings, which seems kind of weird. 5 years and he only got hundreds of thousands of dollars? I mean, realistically, at this level, you'd be thinking that the guy would be making millions of dollars by establishing an offshore company. It says the money was obtained by a co-conspirator who is not identified but is said to have served as a UN procurement officer from at least 1985 to June 2005. I see. Well, this is just another sad chapter in the United Nations, as in, you know, ineffective, unwieldy, and just, you know, useless. The United Nations is really, you know, the most nutless organization we got. They don't do fuck all. We better give the United Nations more power and give them the ability to actually make decisions, or just stop wasting time. Because right now they're a scapegoat and they do nothing. Not a thing. Anyone who doubts that needs to take a really solid look at things like the Rwandan crisis and so on and so forth, because the United Nations is just a fucking joke. Now, in gang war news, this is interesting. Let's get over to Los Angeles. KFI News has obtained a copy of a flyer that has been circulated in South Los Angeles, calling on members of two violent street gangs, the Crips and the Bloods, to join the Nation of Islam in a jihad or holy war against the LAPD. Now, can you believe this? Now, the Nation of Islam, if you ever take a look at what, like, if you ever get a chance, by all means, I fully advise downloading, you know, and listening to the speeches made by Louis Farrakhan. If you can find them, you know, do that. Because the LAPD is, you know, they're a cop organization. I'm sure they got, you know, well, they got gunships. You know, a lot of people don't like the LAPD. There's a lot of, you know, accusations of corruptions and stuff like that. And that said, I'll even give it to you that no doubt there's probably some corruption within the LAPD. I'm sure there's some more than a few instances of police violence. But to have the Nation of Islam, okay, say that they want to do a holy war against a police force, okay, that is going to just cause a war. And the first casualty of any war is innocence. This is absolutely horrifying. The concept of getting armed street gangs to ally against a police force on American soil to start a war on the East Coast on the West Coast for Americans, you know, this is insanity. This has got to be stopped. Now, this level, with this kind of thing going on, I mean, I would say that I would look at government intervention on something like this. The telephone number listed for the Nation of Islam's Los Angeles Mosque near 87th and Vermont has been disconnected. But a check of a reverse directory reveals that the phone number on the flyer is connected to the mosque at the same address. I see. The NOI's Los Angeles Meaner, the Nation of Islam's Los Angeles leader, Minister Tony Mohammed, has claimed he was the victim of an unprovoked attack by LAPD officers at the scene of a vigil for murdered gang members. Okay, that's his claim. The LAPD last week released an audio tape of some garbled radio transmissions in which they say Mohammed can be heard challenging officers. So they got him on tape, apparently saying some crap to officers, but it's garbled, who knows. The photograph on the flyer appears to have been taken at the Noob conference just held after Mohammed was released from jail. Mohammed and the Nation of Islam have not returned calls for comment. But we got these flyers. It's unclear who created the flyer. So the LAPD has declined to comment, rather than saying officers have been aware of them for several days. This is deeply disturbing, understatement of the year. Los Angeles Police Protective League President Bob Baker told KFI in an email to the LAPPL and the LAPD's officer union. Now, bear in mind, the LAPD is talking. The LAPD is like, whoa, dude, wait, I don't know what's going on here, but this is what we got going on. We know about it, yada, yada, yada. Versus the Nation of Islam, which is going, we're not talking. So the cops are going, well, yeah, we know about it. We know it's there. Here's the tapes we got of the incident. Buddy's being psycho. The other guy on the flyers is calling for a holy war, okay, against cops. All right? Now, whether or not you like cops is irrelevant. We don't want to be provoking a holy war. Quite frankly, this is a case in which I hope our mayor, our police commissioner, and our community leaders can step in and remind everyone of our shared priorities, Baker said. Well, no shit. One of these things, I'm really getting pissed off with Islamic culture. I gotta tell you. You know, I'm not a racist. I am not a racist person. I am a bit of a cultural bigot, though, and I'm starting to get really pissed off with the whole Islamic idea and concept. All right? I'm not really, you know, specifically against Islamics. I don't like any of the mud hut religions, okay? I don't really care for the whole, you know, Christian right-wing fundamentalist law. The Jews haven't fucked with me at all, okay? I've never heard of anything Jewish happening, you know, related to law or messing with anybody. They just generally, I don't know anything about it, so I can't make a comment there. But this kind of stuff, where the Nation of Islam is calling for a holy war against cops, has got to go. Now, added to this in Canada, this is one of the most disturbing stories I have seen in a long time. In Ottawa, now, this is a protest I would go to. Protesters will take to the streets this week in cities from Amsterdam to Victoria, all because of a bureaucratic proposal that would allow Islamic law to be used in Ontario family arbitration cases. Islamic law is bullshit. The long-delayed decision on whether to formally include and regulate Sharia religious arbitration in the province has raised alarms among Canadian and European women's groups, dissidents from hardline Islamic states such as Iran, human rights activists, writers, and humanist advocates. Basically, anyone with a fucking clue says this is a bad idea. Almost 100 organizations have banded together under the banner of International Campaign Against Sharia Court in Canada. On Thursday, they'll march in 6 European countries and at least 5 in Canada. Ottawa, Toronto, Waterloo, Ontario, Montreal, and Victoria all have protest plans, along with Amsterdam, Dusseldorf, Gutenberg, Stockholm, London, and Paris. Okay, Canada, guys, we need to make sure we don't allow Islamic law to come into practice in Canada. This is insane. I don't want mud hut law, you know, being practiced in a first world nation. That's bullshit. Okay, not going to happen. Sohala Sharifi, an Iranian immigrant who is organizing the protest in front of the Canadian High Commission in London, said the Ontario situation is emblematic of a global battle between secular societies and political Islam. Okay, well, you know, I don't know much about these secular societies. Okay, I don't. What I do know is that there seems to be a lot of people strapping explosives on their chests and blowing up. I mean, the Christians, even in their heyday, when they were back in the 80s and they were burning books and trying to... all they were doing was burning books. They weren't killing people. And they sure as shit weren't slapping on explosives. If they win this fight in Canada, there's always the possibility that they would see it as a victory that could bring them one step forward, Sharif said in an email exchange. They would use the same argument to establish the same religious system here in Europe and elsewhere. I'm sorry, okay? I understand that Islamic culture has been responsible. I mean, let's look at all the good things the Islamic culture has done, okay? They had books when the rest of us were all throwing rocks at each other. A lot of science, a lot of math came out of Islam. And that's nice, okay? But when you look at the global scale of the shit that's going on, according to religious, hardline religious doctrine in Islam, women have no fucking rights, okay? You're chattel, all right? That's not on. There's a lot, you look at the good and the bad in that faith, and I just kind of go, you know what, you can believe what you want. You want to be Islamic, that's great. You know, if you want to do that, that's fine, but I don't think you should force people to have to cover up their bodies because they're thought of to be a disgrace. You can't force people to not bathe in the ocean because you think they're cursed or whatever the hell you kind of backwards witch doctor religion shit you got going on there. You can't force people to pray to a rock five times a fucking day. This is ridiculous, all right? So you want to go and do that in your own country, that's great, right on, rock on. We'll get over there, you know, and try to educate you people eventually. But, you know, for now, I'm definitely not a big fan of allowing Islamic law, especially family law, because we all know where women sit in that culture, to be practiced in Canada. Not only that, let's suppose this passes. Let's just, you know, take it ahead here. Let's suppose this passes. And you got, you know, Islamic law being practiced in courts in Canada. What do you suppose the Americans are going to think about that? When they look across the border and they say, oh, look at that. Canada's practicing Islamic law in their court system. Well, they'll just get labeled a terrorist nation, okay, and invasion being imminent. And I'll tell you something else, too. If they were to go and start practicing Islamic law in Canada, I think I would change the flag outside my door to one with stars and stripes on it. Because I'm here to tell you, there'd be no chance of this happening in the States, and I'd choosing between the wrong that's more right, I'd be an American long before I'd fly the flag of any Islamic nation. Thank you very, very much. Now, in gas war news, once again, okay, getting back to this whole, you know, the black oil fuel of the Mad Max society, locking fuel caps are becoming the latest must-have automotive accessory as the gas prices spike, retailers say. I've never seen anything like this before. These things were collecting dust, said Brian Drake, who works at Bridgeville Auto Parts. We can't even get them from suppliers. We placed a couple of orders, and we're still waiting for them. The Pep Boys store in Robinson also ran out. Dave Snyder, a Pep Boys sales associate, says the locking cap sold out in a week when normally just one cap a month is sold. He said a few customers told him that their tanks had been siphoned. Of course they've been siphoned. Everyone needs the gas. Several police departments around Pittsburgh say they have not received reports of siphoning, although some police expect it may happen. Well, obviously, what are you going to do? Call the cops? I got siphoned. Well, good for you. We'll be by to pick up fingerprints. The cops aren't going to care. It's getting to be like it was back in the 70s when we had gas rationing, said Bill Kozel, owner of Kozel Auto Parts in Bethel Park. When we went through a ton of them back then, they don't seem to be selling as much as they did back then. A lot of cars now have a secure door on them. You don't need a locking gas cap for this. Yeah, but that securing door on the car, one screwdriver and you're in. Bang, just like that. As a matter of fact, you got a lock blade knife. Bang, you're in. Something to think about. Something to be aware of. You know, you got to look at this and go, okay then. You know, what are we doing? Where is this going to go? It's only a matter of time before its gas prices get bigger and bigger. More and more people are going to start getting jacked for fuel. Not so nice. Now, in robotic war news from Dedco. An unmanned U.S. spy plane Monday thwarted an Iraqi rebel mortar attack on a sprawling U.S. base, firing two missiles which killed 11 insurgents and wounded four more, the military said. Now, I'm wondering if this unmanned U.S. spy plane was actually had a guy remote controlling it or just, you know, kind of targeted it and fired on its own. U.S. forces located two groups of attackers with a coalition unmanned aerial vehicle. U.S. forces located two groups of attackers with a coalition unmanned aerial vehicle. This is the drones. And engaged them, according to a U.S. Army statement. The U.S. Air Force Predator expended two Hellfire missiles against a mortar firing position in the vicinity of Balad, in the center in Iraq, the Air Force said for its part. Why'd you fire two? One Hellfire missile should be more than enough to take out a... I mean, that's expensive. The Predator is a small remote-controlled drone, so obviously there was somebody on the other end with the joystick, drone aircraft, which has been deployed in both Iraq and Afghanistan for surveillance purposes. And with Hellfires, it's not just for surveillance. The drone was also used to track the wounded who were observed being loaded into vehicles, one at the mortar sites, the Army said, adding that 11 rebels had been killed. Now, this is interesting. I wonder why they... of course, they would have tracked the wounded so they could find out where they were going. The vehicles took the wounded to a hospital in Khalis in the Dila province, where the U.S. and Iraqi forces arrested six of the suspects, the statement added. The dawn raid by the rebels targeted base Anaconda near Balad. So, interesting stuff, and it's good to see that some of this technology is being used to save lives. Because before, this would be a case where you'd have to have sentries and patrols, and these mortar teams are hard to track and they're hard to pin down. I mean, during Vietnam, the mortar teams were they were unstoppable. If you do some research on that they were a huge, huge problem for the Americans with these, but now, thanks to technology, we're able to kind of put the kibosh on that, hopefully. I don't know if anybody else knows of mortar attacks that are happening against bases that have been thwarted by technology, especially by these drones, but it's pretty interesting stuff. Now, again, I have a lot of respect for soldiers, and I have a lot of respect for police officers and anyone involved in the law enforcement field. But there are a bunch of pig cops in the United States. And I mean, these guys are bags of shit. I have lost all respect for these people. Like, I'm not gifted verbally to convey to you my complete and total... they're disgusting. Reeling from the chaos of this overwhelmed city, at least 200 New Orleans scumbags who happen to be employed as police officers have walked away from their jobs, and two have committed suicide, police officials said on Saturday. Some officers told their superiors they were leaving, police officials said. Others worked for a while and then stopped showing up. These are cops, okay? Still others, for reasons not always clear, never made it in after the storm. Maybe they're dead, so we'll go from there. The absence comes during a period of extraordinary stress for the New Orleans Police Department. For nearly a week, many of its 1,500 members have had to work around the clock trying to cope with flooding and overwhelming crush of refugees, looters, and occasional snipers. P. Edwin Compass III, the superintendent of police, said most of his officers were staying at their posts, and good on them too, because this is where the metal meets the meat, let me tell you. But in an unusual note of sympathy for a top police official, he said it was understandable that many were frustrated. He said morale was not very good. Well, I can understand that. If I put you out on the street and made you get into a gun battles all day with no place to urinate and no place to defecate, I think you wouldn't be too happy either, said Mr. Compass in an interview. Our vehicles can't get any gas. The water in the street is contaminated. My officers are walking around in wet shoes. Now, that said, you have a duty, okay, which you took the job to protect and serve the public, and there are people out there that are dying and need your help. So buck the fuck up, Beaver. Okay, you got a time to cowboy up and get out there and do your goddamn job or die trying. That's why you're a cop. And if you can't handle it, you shouldn't have taken the job. I have not got a lot of sympathy here. This, to quit, to walk away, that's just disgusting. Fire department officials said they did not know of any firefighters who had quit, but they too were sympathetic to struggling emergency workers. Well, isn't that interesting? The firefighters aren't quitting. Do you suppose they're not getting shot at? And isn't it funny also that the New Orleans Police Department is considered to be one of the most corrupt police departments in America? Well, maybe this is a great way to separate the wheat from the chaff. W.J. Riley, the assistant superintendent of police, said there were about 1,200 officers on duty on Saturday. He said the department was not sure how many officers had decided to abandon their posts and how many simply could not get to work. Well, you know, no one will really know. I mean, it'd be very easy to just stay at home and hide and say, no, everything was swamped, my family was in trouble, blah, blah, blah. Okay? That'd be real easy to do that. But if you as an officer, win, lose, or draw, if you just quit and walk away, you're a bag of shit. Like, you don't even, I don't even consider jail time for something like that. That's criminal, seriously, because there are people dying who need your help. And you know what? You have to be a cop on a good day, and you have to be cops on bad days as well. So cowboy up. What the fuck? Anyway, oh God, that story makes me insane. In booster news, on to the aspects of soy. A group of researchers from Mexico has discovered that a diet rich in soy protein may alleviate fatty liver, a disease which often accompanies diabetes. Now, here's something you're probably not going to hear a lot about, because there's a lot of people who are diabetic or nearly diabetic. So if you're to start eating more soy, okay, soy protein seems to help fatty liver tissue. The details of their findings appear in the September issue of the Journal of Lipid Research and American Society for Biochemistry and Molecular Biology Journal. The high levels of insulin and insulin resistance that accompany diabetes are often associated with fatty liver or hepatic steatosis, an untreatable condition that can lead to chronic liver disease and death. In this condition, large lipid-filled compartments accumulate in the cells of the liver due to an increase in production of fatty acids in the liver. The end result is an enlarged liver. Following up on a report that indicated that eating soy protein reduces lipid production and prevents hyperinsulinemia, the loss of effectiveness of insulin, Dr. Nimbi Torres of the Instituto Nacional de Ceranes, man, this is all like Spanish, I can't read it, investigated the effects of the diet high in soy protein and the development of fatty liver associated with diabetes. Dr. Torres fed Zucker diabetic fatty rats that developed hyperinsulinemia and hepatic blah, 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 blah. But anyway, he fed these rats soy protein for 160 days that had this liver problem. She found that the consumption of soy protein prevented the accumulation of triglycerides and cholesterol in the liver despite the development of obesity and hyperinsulinemia in the rats. So for those of you out there who are overweight and who are concerned about whether or not you could be diabetic, it might be worthwhile to drop some soy into your diet. Because it's easy, it's cheap, you don't need a prescription for it, and it's a way that will prevent you to get off of, you know, having to take drugs that the corporate politicals, or they're definitely not going to give you this information, so that's why I'm doing it. Now, moving right along, in P2P news, it seems that Kazaa, has vowed to appeal after an Australian court ruled that internet file sharing has infringed on the company's copyright laws. On the country's copyright laws, which may as well be a company. The Federal Court of Australia found that Kazaa violated Australian copyright law by authorizing users to infringe music companies' copyrights in recordings. The court has ordered that the P2P firm must install filters to prevent further violations. Ian Fogg, a broadband analyst at the Jupiter Research Europe, said this is yet another battle in a long-running war, but it's almost yesterday's fight because Kazaa is not as popular as it used to be, and many downloaders have moved to BitTorrent and the eDonkey networks. I never actually checked out eDonkey. I wonder if it's any good. In terms of the bigger picture, this is significant because it's an example of the general legal press coming to bear on such services and the fact that their options are being closed down, which is very true. Sherman Networks, the company behind Kazaa, said we'll appeal against the verdict. I hope they make it, but I'd have to tell you, I don't think the verdict looks very good. While judgment has yet to be studied in detail, Sherman Networks is obviously disappointed with the decision, the company said in a statement. We will appeal this decision vigorously and are confident that we will win an appeal. The case was brought by the Australian unit of Universal Music Group, part of the Vivendi Universal and other music industry plaintiffs, against Sherman Networks and other defendants. Again, this is just a case of he with the biggest lawyers will win. And you can't deny that the music industry has got some big, nasty, ugly, ugly lawyers. Despite the fact that the Kazaa website contains warnings about sharing copyright files, because again, Kazaa doesn't do anything. All it does is enable you to communicate and share. It doesn't do anything. Okay, they have no data. And an end-user license agreement under which users are made to agree not to infringe on copyright It has long been obvious that these measures are ineffective to prevent or even substantially to curtail copyright infringement by users, the judgment said in a summary of the decision. However, it's the users breaking the law, not Kazaa. So if you're going to go after someone, which I'm not even sure you should be doing that even, you should be going after the users, not Kazaa. Because Kazaa's using the internet. Why don't you just deem the internet illegal? What the hell? The judge ordered that within 2 months, the Kazaa software must have filters that exclude copyrighted works, and Kazaa must apply the maximum pressure on existing users to upgrade to the filtered system. Which, of course, all you're going to get there is you're going to get people who unfilter the system, and they'll run patches and software hacks that take out the filters that they put in. That's all that's going to occur there if they don't already jump ship. Now, bear in mind, this is, you know, this is just another example of a way to waste the record company's money. Because how many methods do you think are going to be generated where people are going to be able to just figure out how to get around this? And they will. They will figure out a way to get around this. Don't you kid yourself. This is not something that is just going to fall by the wayside. This is something that people are going to be able to go, well, okay, I guess we're going to go back to newsgroups. I guess we'll swap in the IRC. I guess we'll come up with a new flavor of the week and BitTorrent and everything else. They're never going to be able to stop it so long as there is the internet. Which that brings us to the other point where they're talking about changing the internet now. And that's one of the great fears we have of the change in the internet. Now on to today's daily hacks. First one is a really good one. It's building your own generator by sent in by Jedi Master Layborn. And the guy who did it was from Vancouver. When you look at it, it's using a car alternator and a lawnmower engine. It's brilliant. I mean, I was looking at this going, of course, what a brilliant way to do this. I never even thought of it. You know, and I'm sure you could probably put two or three alternators on there and really juice it up, run it to a bunch of batteries. I mean, this is a great idea. I can't believe how simple this is, and it's bright. You could do this with a SOG power plier, a couple of nails, and a hammer. It's pretty handy. As a matter of fact, it's a great way to, you know, if you had to get all wogged out, you could probably build yourself a generator in about half an hour if, you know, the metal met the meat, you really had to do it. And for a bit of humor, if you happen to be harassed by telemarketers and you haven't been able to shut them off, there's a great anti-telemarketing script for those of you out there who are bored and just want to fuck with the telemarketers. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to give you all the well-balanced and informed information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 59 subscribers for the month of June. And 7 donators. Thank you so much for your donations. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Because believe me, well, I need it and every little bit helps. That's about it for me. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance for gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That is N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com, as well as comments or any sort-yourself-out questions you might have. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Scooter called No Time to Chill. I'm going to leave you now with one of my favorite covers and probably one of the hardest songs of all time, the Master of Puppets cover by Hellsow. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.